Welcome. I'd like to acknowledge the continuing sovereignty of all First Nations peoples right across the country. I would also like to acknowledge elders, elders of the First Peoples of the land, and elders of more recent arrivals. Welcome to each and every one of you. And welcome to all our listeners tuned in across the country by the National Indigenous Radio Service and across the world by the World Wide Web. Welcome to you. It's great to have your company. Well, the big Murray Rugby League Carnival was on the weekend, and you heard the results there on the news. Apparently it was quite a good final, grand final. Great gathering. I went out for a visit on Saturday. It was deadly. See black fellas everywhere, eh? It was deadly. A lot of mob that you don't get to see until you get together for an event like that. Usually it's only bloomin' funeral where you get to see mob. But it's great to be gathering together and meeting up on a more happy occasion, a more pleasant event circumstances. So well done to all the mob that's travelled in to compete and play in that as young kids, the young women and the men. Good on you all. Congratulations to each and every one of you and all your communities that support you. Great to see. Now, today we're talking to, and I've just got a phone number in for Stacey from Pomperow Youth Group. So I'm going to try and work out a way of getting Stacey on the line here too. Today we're talking about a youth summit. First Nations peoples coming together, young people, from 12 to 25. And they came together from communities, from a number of different communities. And there was quite a number of people present. So to start with, I'm going to ask, we'll introduce Tamma Patterson. How are you, Tamma? Whoa, you there, Tamma?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes. How are you?
I'm good, as yourself.
I'm good. You haven't got a speaker on, eh?
No, I haven't.
That's all right. We should be able to get by with that. Tamma, and we've also got a couple of young people, Stanley and Bernice Yateman. And now these three people are all from Yarrabah.
Yes.
Stanley and Bernice, how are you?
Hello.
Yeah, hello there. You there?
Yep.
This is Stanley Yateman?
Yep.
Yeah. And you've got Bernice there beside you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let me go, Tamma. Tell me your mob, your country.
Who, Tamma?
Yeah, let Tamma there. She can answer on her phone there.
Tamma,
tell me your mob, your country, Tamma. Hello, Tamma. Yeah, nah, not working too well there. It was very, very faint.
You there?
Yep, that's better.
I'm actually a Yidingi lady, and I currently live out of Yarrabah.
Okay, what's your job?
I'm actually the Yarrabah Youth Wellbeing Culture Revamp Coordinator.
Okay.
Out of Yarrabah. Yep.
And you played a role in organising this youth summit.
Yeah, myself and Paul Neal, we actually got an invitation from Pumper for some youth to participate and be a part of a youth summit that they were delivering. Liz Pearson actually gave us an invitation to go along, and Paul and I organised for 10 youths to participate and be a part of it. We took along 6 youths, and it meant a 2-day travel from Yarrabah to Pampra. And then we spent a week in Pampra, and all the youths attended the summit. They met up with the youths and supported them throughout the summit around issues and, you know, just being a voice around youth issues and positive you know, positive way forward now.
All right. What led up to how was the need identified that it was time for young people to come together? How was that identified? Like, what was it that actually you needed funding and a lot of organising and stuff, a lot of work involved?
Yeah, Paul and I have just recently did a youth forum down at Yarraba, and I suppose the project that we currently do is around youth and you know, just engaging them back to land and, you know, just supporting them and engaging with services. And from the what had happened was we had the youth forum down at Yarraba, and we heard about the summit, and a lot of that was similar to what we had done at the youth forum. Like, the, some of the, you know, we had some of the issues there. But what had happened was we wanted for these kids, these youths, to have an opportunity to experience other cultures, also to experience issues in other communities, and to just network and engage with other youths and, you know, just learn from them and just experience what similar experiences that they've had.
All right, all right. The forum was well attended. Where did people come from? How many attended, and where they all come from? Like, was it just Queensland, or did they go further afield?
From my understanding, it was Queensland, but there may have been others. I know that there were communities like Napranum and some of the Cape communities, as well as Yarraba, that attended.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. We're with Stanley and Bernice. Let me talk to. I'll ask Stanley, Bernice, what's your mob? What's your country? Where your country?
Our country is Cooleyalanjin.
Okay. And that's up there west of Cairns, around Cairnsway, outside Cairnsway, north of Cairns?
Yeah.
And for Stanley, same kind?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And what do you do on, you live in Yarraba, work in Yarraba, what do you do there, Bernice?
I'm a teacher right at the local school here. I work at the primary school.
Yeah. Very good, very good. And... Where's Stanley? What do you do?
Hang on.
Hello.
Yeah, Stanley. Now, I'll just explain to our listeners. We've got one telephone to share for you two, and
yep.
We've got Liz on the mobile there.
Yeah.
You're Bernice saying your same mob as Bernice, your Cooleyalanjin?
Yep.
And you live in Yarraba?
Yep.
What do you do there? You work? You go to school? What?
Nah, I finished school, but I'm unemployed.
When you finished school?
Last year.
Okay. Year 12 or before that, what?
Yeah, well, I did halfway year through year 12.
Yep.
But then finish.
Then finish up. What was your reason to finish up? Were you a bit tired of school, not satisfied with school, had a job to go to? What reason do you have for finish up?
Just being slack, I guess, and then realising afterwards that I just sort of stayed in school.
You realised
no opportunities.
You realised after when you left that you should have stayed in school.
Yeah.
All right. That's an interesting point that you make, an interesting comment, because, well, let's hope a lot of our young mob and the parents, usually parents tune into this station because of country music and stuff we play. So it's an interesting comment that you realise now. So you're saying you regret leaving a bit early. You should have stayed on and finished up with year 12.
Yeah. Yep.
Why is that? Why?
Because school is important, I guess.
Education.
But then
when
you're in school, you just, I guess, people just play up and don't want to be in school and then they regret it afterwards, like now.
Yeah. To assist the understanding or to assist people get their heads around why young black fella would leave school. What was it in school? Did you find it challenging? Did you find it not challenging enough for you? Did you find the classroom activities relevant? Are there jobs in community that if you'd stayed on in the year 12, you might be able to, there might be job available in Yarraba? What was it that you think, why is it, what were your reasons? What were your issues?
Sorry, what was that?
What were your issues with attending school? I mean, did you find the classroom activities relevant? Did you were they challenging enough or not challenging enough for you? Were you bored with what was taking place? Those sort of things. Was you are there jobs available in Yarraba that would encourage you to stay on the school because you know there's jobs available? You know, if young fella know there's no jobs in his community, well, that's one reason why you're not going to keep on going to school. What was it with you?
Well, I guess, yeah, there's no jobs after you finish school in your community. And you get people, you get bad things happening at home, you know, you don't want to go to school anymore.
Mm.
And, yeah, that's basically it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the home environment is very important. What happens at home, whether there's big mob family live there or whether there might be overcrowding and things, and there might be people having issues with alcohol or drugs or something, but there's all of those issues are a part of young people being able to go to school or not go to school, eh? That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right. While I've got you on the line, I think you were telling me some of the towns and places that these young people came from. You said Hopevale and Rockhampton and places, yeah?
Yeah, you had Woodjall, Napranum, and Yarraba there, and Pomprow.
Okay. And how many people would have been there?
How many people? 150, about it, I think.
Really? That many?
Yeah.
Go on. Pomperow would have been really blacked out proper way. Mm. All them bummer there. Was it a good experience for you as a young fellow just recently left school to attend this sort of a broad sort of discussion and broad forum? Was it a good experience for you to be in the middle of this?
Yeah, it was actually a great one. We got to, you know, come together. It's the first time in a different community and very friendly people up there in Pomprow. And yeah, it's just a really good experience. I liked it, enjoyed it. Makes me want to do better things in life to come back and help my community.
All right. What did you take away from it? What did you come back to Yarraba with? Any ideas on what you might do? Oh, hang on, before you answer that question, what were some of the issues discussed? And were the issues similar in Yarraba, in Woodjall, in Pomprow? Were they similar issues? Were there any different kind of issues?
Drug and alcohol issues, lack of jobs, and you need more youth programs, I guess.
Did you go back to Yarraba with any ideas on, all right, we're going to set up this young people's program, and we're going to set this up, or we're going to set that up? Did you go back with any ideas or things that you think you might work on and try and build something for young people?
Yeah, well, I came back, and we want to start our own Yarraba Youth Hub.
Good.
And we just youth council, sorry.
All right.
And
yeah.
Because Pomper has their own too, and employment for their young leaders, and we don't. We had one before, but we just want to get it up and running again. Yeah. So
you have support from your local council there, because you've got Aboriginal Shire Council, the mayor and the councillors, all Aboriginal people. Do you have support, like they would support something like this for young people to come through?
Yes, definitely.
That's good. Put Bernice on and I'll talk to Bernice about some of the issues that that've been identified, Bernice?
Hang on, I'll just have a look. It's basically the same for all communities, like drug and alcohol issue, lack of jobs. We need more support in what people do, and
you need opportunities to be for young people to be able to have their say. Is there any way that young people's issues, young people's concerns, and young people's voices are able to get through at a level in their community where they can be heard and taken notice of?
I guess I'm more having more programs, you know, like just within the community, the youth and elders, you know, to hear young people's voice.
What are some of the things that you'd like to see? What's one main thing you would like to see in Yarrabah, like for youth? One main thing.
I guess more job opportunities for when they finish schooling.
Local job in Yarrabah itself.
Yes.
Because explain to people, if you got a job in Cairns, what you got to do? Say you got a job in the school over at in Cairns itself. What would that mean? It mean one, you got to have a motor car. But you tell us, think about it. Where it's pretty good for you now at the moment. You got a job in the school, primary school. If that job finished or there was no job and you actually got a job in Cairns somewhere, what are the challenges for you if you got a job in Cairns? Because a lot of our listeners don't know.
Transportation and driving from home to into Cairns.
Which would take how long?
About 45 minutes, and support in getting your own transport and travelling.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what sort of jobs might be created in Cairns, in Yarrabah itself, you think? What could young people do there in Cairns? What could young people do in Yarrabah where there could be jobs, but it's just there's not no money for paying a wage? There's always work that can be done. There's always a role to play, but there's never any money available. What do you think some of the roles that young people could play, jobs for young people? You reckon?
Volunteering. Volunteering, accommodation, and get CDP up and running again.
All right, so you'd like to see CDP come back?
Yeah.
You ever think there's opportunities there with CDP, eh?
And more traineeships.
Okay, yeah.
Yep.
All right. We'll take a break for a song and come back. I'll try and get our guest. I've been given the phone number of a lady at Pomperow, Gwen. I'll try and get Gwen on the line. You guys stay with me,
yep.
And I'll try for Gwen in Pomperow while we play this song. Stay there. Well, I'm talking to young people. They're based in Yarrabah. They've attended a youth summit last week, 150 of our mob. Talking about issues of young people. And it's great to see. I mean, it's very important that young people have these forums, have these opportunities to talk, to be heard, to identify their concerns, their challenges, their aspirations. It's very important. We don't see enough of it. And that's why I'm talking to these young fellas. They're telling me about their concerns and their aspirations and their challenges is Stanley and Bernice Yateman of Yarrabah. And I've got Tamara Patterson also on the line as well. Two groups of people. One, we got Stanley Yateman and Bernice Yateman talking to me from Yarrabah. And Tamara Patterson was there with them. And she is still there with them, just not on the phone. Because I pinched their phone line to bring Gwen and Gwen Clark and Rita from Pomperow. Gwen, Rita, welcome to the program. How are you?
Good, thank you.
That's
thank
good.
Thank you for having us on the show too.
No, it's good that you are available. And like I've been saying, it's real important that young people get to attend these sorts of forums. There's not enough of them. What do you think? What's important about it for you fellas sitting out there, Pompey? I mean, that's beautiful community, very remote. It's important for these sorts of forum and discussion, and for mob to come in and all talk about your issues.
Yeah, it is.
All right. What? Well, first of all, tell us your mob, your country. Who are your people?
Well, my name is Rita Gibuma, and my father's from Boigo Island, and my mother's from Pomperau. Mother's side is Kokiak clan, which is snake language, and father's is Kalau Kawau Yangukudu.
All right, that's a mouthful, eh?
Yeah.
Deadly, deadly. Okay.
Thank you.
And what's your role there in Pomperau?
Right now, I'm actually working two jobs. I work at the post office full-time during the day, so it's usually 8:30 to 4 or 5. And then from there, I go down to the club and work from 5:30 to 9:30, sometimes 10:30.
Okay. You're very fortunate. We got some mob can't find a job, and you actually managed to get two jobs.
Trying to keep myself busy.
Yes, yes. How long ago did you finish school, and what year were you in when you finished school? What year did you get through?
I made it all the way to year 12. Mm. And graduated from St. Pat's in Townsville in 2011.
But nearly 3 years ago now.
Yeah.
Very good. And how long you been get this job? How long you had the job for?
I've been at the club since I was in year 11.
Mm.
And
you did traineeship there, down there, did you? School-based traineeship there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've been at the post office since this time last year.
Okay. Very good. Now, Gwen, what about you? When did you finish school? How far did you get?
I didn't get far.
How far that was?
I only went till year 10.
Yeah.
And then dropped. And
how long ago was that? How long ago? A couple of years ago?
Yeah, would be a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I'm like 23 now, so yeah.
Pardon?
I'm like 23 now, so yeah, that was a long time ago.
Mm.
I'm not from Pomperau, but I'm from the Cape, Lough Erriwa, but I live in Pomperau.
Who's your mob and where your country then?
My mob's the Kukiao clan. From my father's side, and my mother's side would be the Kanja clan. But I lived in Pomperau for nearly roughly 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
Now, and I'm also working two jobs here.
You working two jobs too?
Yeah.
Well, you're a deadly young woman. Your fellas are solid. Yeah. And what do you do, Gwen?
My position is youth coordinator trainee at Bopant Aboriginal Corporation.
Mm.
And I'm also a part-time child and maternal health for Apuna Pima at the clinic.
Very good. Very good.
Well, yeah, that's me.
Well, now for young people, it's obvious that young people, young First Nations or Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people, indigenous people, we called. It's obvious that our young ones do want to work. Do want a job? They want to work. Hey, you mob got two jobs each. So our people, and we got Bernice and Stanley Yateman from Yarrabah. They both one work and one not. So our people do want to work. Our young people do want jobs. But is it fair to say that you people want to work in your own community, or is it okay that when Abbott or even Noel Pearson or other people. They say, oh, they can leave, they can go to the city, they can go another place and get a job. What are your thoughts on that? You prefer to be at home with your mob on your own country or what?
Well, I think it all depends on if they have support. And if, you know, if you think you're ready to take that step to go out of the community and, you know, up for a challenge to try and stand on your two feet, go ahead. But if you think you want to start off small and get comfortable with your family, or if you're one of them homesick mob, then probably try at home, or maybe be one of the mobs that stay home but still go out for training.
Yeah, right. That's a good one. What about you, Gwen? What do you think? Because that was Rita, right? But tell me that one.
Yeah.
I'm picking your voices there.
I'd say just probably start out small, and then just, you know, gain more skills as you go.
And that confidence and support is important, eh?
Yeah.
And once you've got that one, you can leave home, yeah?
Yeah, you just have to believe in yourself to take on challenges as well. I mean, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be rough road to success.
Bit of a struggle first, eh?
Yeah.
Go on, Rita.
No, I was just going to say, and I can't always let that shame business stand in your way.
Yeah.
Because it's, like a lot of people say, it's just holding us back from a really big and bright future.
You're right there. Shame, not part of our culture. Shame come with the white man. He brought shame with him, along with the sickness and disease and a lot of other problems. We never had shame before he come. That's a good point you make.
Thank you.
Let me... Gwen, you went to year 10 and now you've got your working and stuff. So it hasn't held you back all that much. Not that I'm encouraging people to leave early. If you can stick it out, stick it out. But if you can't, it's a good example, Gwen, where you have two jobs. You've been able to find a job and work regardless of not going through to year 12, eh?
Yeah. I just started out by leaving my own community because, from my personal experience, I did really bad things during high school years, but then moving away from my own community helped me a lot.
Okay. Well, let's go. Yeah, go on.
I won't.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's just that I'm going places where I didn't think that I'd be. And it's been good. I'm really enjoying everything that I'm doing right now.
That's very good that you're happy with life and enjoying what you're doing. That's very good. Mm-hmm. Let me go across to Stanley and Bernice. We've got Stanley for Gwen and Rita's benefit. We've got Stanley and Bernice and Tama on another telephone sitting in Yarraba. Talking about their experiences and stuff. It's interesting that young people have the diverse views and aspirations and opinions. Bernice, you, with your work in the primary school, do you want to move beyond that? Are there other things you want to do? Are you staying at the school? Do you want to become a teacher? Do you want to do anything else? Or you're happy with being where you are for now?
I do want to go back and study again next year. Probably around about becoming a teacher.
All right.
And that's how I can lead my community, you know, to be a leader for myself, for my family and my community.
When you do that, all right, yes. Now, the points that... Gwen and Rita are making, you know, yeah, it's okay to be able to leave home, but you've got to have that support and that self-confidence and stuff so that you don't get that homesick kind. That's a very important point for our mob, young people. Yep. Yeah?
Yeah, it is. Support is the main thing if you want to leave your community and go gain further knowledge and skills and what area are you looking to go and study?
And for Stanley, they're saying he regrets Lee pulling out of school in partway through year 12. Stanley, your message to young people, our mob, your family, young ones right across the country, young First Nations people right across the country, you would encourage people to try and stay in school and finish them off year 12?
Yes, definitely. Just stay in school, no matter what, stick it out, and yeah, complete year 12, and make sure you got support behind you too.
I'll ask you all four, how important is identity? How important is culture, language? You tell me first, Danny. Then I'll go to Bernice, and then we go across to Gwen and Rita. How important is language? How important is identity, to be strong in identity? And how important is your culture?
It's really important. Makes you strong, makes you who you are. Gives you connection.
As easy or easier for people that are on communities, a bit more difficult for some that have been removed, taken away, their parents or their grandparents taken away. But you're fortunate, I suppose you would say, to be able to identify your parents and grandparents and their country and stuff. That's you're in a good position for that, eh?
Yep.
What about Bernice? How important, Bernice, is it for you? Can you manage? Do you think for Bernice, do you think it's easier or it's okay? People can manage without their culture and language, or is it a situation where you probably find that you'd be stronger? Is it important for you, culture, language, identity, knowing who you are, knowing where you come from?
Yeah, I think it's very, very important. It's culture and your identity make you who you are today.
Do you get a chance, an opportunity in the school, in your job, to assist with developing stronger young people by talking about language and culture and stuff, identity?
Yes, we do. We actually have a program called LOAT that every class have to go to, and they learn a little bit language and their culture.
LOAT, that's that language. What LOAT stands for? LOTEA, LOAT? That area, language other than English, is it?
Language other than English.
And is there much language spoken by younger ones like yourself, or even these little ones coming through school? Are they picking up local language and dialect from their parents or grandparents or old people around them? Is there much of that happening?
Yes, it's starting to come through the younger ones.
And dance as well? Song?
Hey?
Dance and song? They're singing?
Yes, they're very strong in the dance and the singing in language.
That's deadly. That's deadly. That's good to hear. Yeah. Okay, let me ask Gwen and Rita how important... Gwen, how important is it for you to in identity, language, culture? How important is it?
It's very important to me because even though I'm living in another community, I'm still connected very strongly to my culture and where I'm from. It's different to the culture that's being here in Pampara, but I still know mine because I think it's just important that you still have your culture. I mean, even language speaking.
So you learn it as you were growing up, getting older, before you come across to Pampara?
Yeah.
Okay. Rita, what about you? Same question. How important is identity, language, culture?
For me, I think it's really important for me. I'm very happy that I carry my father's last name. when I went to high school or whenever I go someplace, people are like, oh, you're a Givuma. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, so you're from here. And then they're like, oh, we're family. And then I'll be like, yeah, I'm from Pampa. And they'll be like, oh. But yeah.
Yes, yes.
Very funny. And when I was young, I didn't really know how to speak the Pampara language. I understood what my family was saying to me, but just trying to get my tongue wrapped around the words was kind of hard for me.
Mm.
But I'm staying with my cousin now, and she speaks a lot of language to me and my siblings and cousins. And I've actually picked up on it now, and I speak it to, like, all my family. Like, if when my sister comes back from high school, I'll be, like, talking the language to her when we go to the city. And then she'll be like, Rita, please be quiet.
No shame in that. But that's good that you're strong and that you picked up that language.
I'm proud, because this is something that, you know, you should be very proud of, learning your, like, knowing your language, where you come from, and, you know, your mob's dance, the dance that has been handed down from your ancestors to you. And I think it's a big responsibility, but it's something to be proud of. I mean, we should take great pride in it and hand it down to, like, our kids when we have it. Like, carry it on. Don't, you know, when you go out there into the mainstream and you're like, don't be ashamed of it. Show them who you are, where you come from, your mob. Or else, I hate to say it, or else we'll lose our identity.
That's right.
And we are. And sometimes just thinking about it kind of makes me want to cry.
Yes, yes. No, it is important, and it's essential. It's essential. You're very fortunate, you young ones, being able to live, if not on country, close to country, and have people around you, them older ones that are strong in culture, to be able to pass on to you all. You're very, very fortunate. And to be able to speak your own language, I mean, when you and your sister from high school, when you go shopping in Cairns or something, you can stand around and talk about all them mob all around you, and only you and your sister can know what's going on. They can't understand. You can talk about them. But anyway, not that we want to talk about them all bad way. You can even talk about them good way too.
Yeah.
What were some of the issues for you, Rita, that some of the issues, young people's issues, school. I mean, for people going to school, do you think the school classes and the structure of the education system needs to be changed a bit to cater to First Nations people? What are your thoughts about school and the classroom activities, but the relevance of classroom activities to people in communities or to people with your backgrounds? That's a question I'd ask you all. What is the relevance of that classroom activity, of the education system? Are they preparing you? Are they preparing you for life in your community, in your world?
Up here, are they preparing us for, like, going out to high school?
Going to high school? What about for job, for living in community and stuff? Do you think they're preparing you to be able to live in the two worlds? I mean, your mob are strong in language and your identity. Are you strong enough to live in two worlds? Is that something that the school does, or is that something school just teach you English and white fellow way, and then family teach you black fellow way? What's the situation? What do you think? How do you see it?
Yeah, like you've said, I mean, and I know when I, like, I mean, they prepare you, yes, for the outside world, but I don't think there's a lot of support. I mean, you know, sometimes kids could be listening, I mean, hearing, but they're not exactly listening to what they're saying, because there is a gap there, I know, between some kids. I mean, you know, they speak language, and to throw them into, like, English, it's kind of confusing. I mean, I still, there is kind of a gap still when I'm talking, just between, like, small kids, because some of them will look at me like, what?
Communication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll speak English, but then it's like, what?
Yep, yep. And you can switch to you can switch to language then.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Or even what you call them up there? That other one, like a pigeon kind. What you call them?
Like Creole.
Creole. You can switch to that one too, eh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, are there enough opportunities in community, in communities that you visited, the word from some of those participants, are there enough opportunities for a job, for employment, to be able to encourage them to keep on going to school? I mean, from what I understand, I mean, I'm an old man, 61. Well, not old man, I'm still a young fella, but I'm 61 young. My observation is that there isn't enough opportunities for employment in communities for people to want to stay at school and graduate from year 12. What's the word from those participants that you've been sitting around and talk with last week? What are their thoughts? What are you hearing?
Well, we heard what you're saying there, that there isn't enough job opportunities. I mean, up here we've got, you could go to the council, you could go to the council, CDUP, to the club or the store. But a lot of kids I know, they want, like, sports. I mean, we've got sports, but I think, like, if you're looking at some kids I know, they want to be, like, lawyers and stuff, or, like, want to, like, work a lot higher up the chain.
Yes.
And what the, I mean, they'll have a lot of spaces there for people in CDEP and all this, but, you know, it's like you're aiming high, but you're still getting the low stuff. Okay. I mean, it's good to start off in the back, you know, in the back door and make yourself to the front. But sometimes people will think, oh, okay, I'll just take the easy way. Easy way gets too easy, and then they're stuck.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Well, look, in winding up, we nearly finish up for news time. Rita, what message you got for young people out there that are either in community, they might be living in Brisbane, they might be living in Cairns. What message you got for young people?
Don't give up on your dreams. If you want your dream so bad and you think about it at night, like, you know, during the day you're just sitting there and you're like, I want to do this. Sorry.
You're right.
You know, don't give up on this stuff and stay strong in your culture. Never, ever, you know, deny who you are, where you come from, no matter what.
All right.
Put yourself out there. Take the challenge. Take that great leap. You don't know. You might end up flying and reaching your goal.
Good on you, Rita. I really appreciate you joining us today. Hey, let me ask Gwen that same question. Gwen, do you have any advice or any words of wisdom from a young woman working two jobs out in community? What would you say to our young mob? Some might be struggling with education or struggling with life, you know, but what would you say?
Say whatever opportunity there is out there, just go for it. Don't hold back. I mean, if you really want something in life, you'll have to chase it. I mean, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a really rough road, but it's a challenge, and all you got to do is just believe in yourself.
All right. I thank you, young ladies, for joining us today, Gwen and Rita. Really good talking to you. I'll switch across to Stanley and Bernice and ask them the same question. You all have all keep going with the great work that you do. You're inspirational young people. And I congratulate you on what you're doing and your views and where you're at. You keep on going and work on creating a better place for our mob in the community where you live and for our mob right across the country.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Bye now.
All right, bye.
Bernice and Stanley, tell me, any words of encouragement for our mob, young ones, might be struggling with school, might be struggling with life. What would you say?
Okay, stay in school, keep your head up, because education is key to great opportunity from in your community and outside, and dream big, because young people, you are the success and you are the future leaders for our community. And dream big, because young people are the success to our future.
Yes.
For the younger ones as well.
Yes, who knows? Like Gwen said there, who knows? You might even fly. You dream big enough.
Yeah.
Hey? Yeah. Now, Stanley, tell me, what would you say?
Hello.
Yes, Stanley, what would you say to our young ones out there, or people might be struggling with school or with life generally?
I'd just tell them to don't be afraid to try new things, you know. Take any opportunity that's there, even if you don't like it, just try it and you might like it, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Who knows what doors might open, eh?
Yep.
From that one little step. If you don't like it, doesn't matter. Hey, listen, thank you very much for joining us. And Tamma, thank you very much. It's almost news time. So Bernice and Stanley Yateman, Tamma Patterson, Gwen Clark and Rita, appreciate your discussion today, and really applaud the work that you do sitting around in the forum and stuff, getting young people together. Keep it up. We need you young people. So keep up the great work, eh? Thanks for joining me. Righto. Bye now. Well, that's young people talking to me about some young people's issues and challenges and things out in communities. It's time for me to go. Join me tomorrow on your local First Nation station for Let's Talk.